Nachum Avoboy, Rabbi Chananya Greenwald, Rosh Yeshiva Yeshiva Teferes Yerushalayim. Rabbi Greenwald lost.
Otherwise, he's still
he's right. Leaving tonight. No, he was there last night. The rest of the family left. He lost his father, Rabbi Mr. Ronnie Greenwald, who was a legend. Ronnie Greenwald was a legend. So listen to this amazing story that happened. Ronnie Greenwald was at a. They apparently have this type. This happened 3 years ago, and he just heard the story because one of the people that was there at the Levaya 3 years ago, they had this type of cure of retreat or something. They went to a hotel and they made a Yom Kippur davening at a hotel. And he was there. He was one of the people who was there at this Yom Kippur davening. Anyway, walks into the hotel. Eight Hasidish people. Five Hasidish guys and three Hasidish girls. They just booked a hotel online, not knowing that they booked a hotel which is having a Yom Kippur event there.
So these Hasidish people weren't in that.
They were trying to get away from Yom Kippur. Five Hasidish guys, three Hasidish girls. They were trying to get away from Yom Kippur. They walk in, there's talasim all over the place. They're like, oh my god. So they want out. Okay, want the money back. And the hotel says, I'm sorry. You already booked your hotel? We're not giving you money back. So they're going to spend Yom Kippur in the hotel with this.
That's crazy.
Rabbi Greenwald spent his Yom Kippur afternoon speaking to these Hasidisha kids. Didn't daven. I mean, he davened obviously somewhat, but, you know, they were old enough to book their own rooms.
Probably 18.
Anyway, what?
Like
yeah, I didn't see them, but I just know the story. It's all he said, Hasidish people. Anyway, one of the people by the Levaya was a girl that came over to one of the Greenwalds and said, I came because I was one of those girls. And she's in seminary now. She's in Eretz Yisrael. She said, I spent most of my Yom Kippur by the pool with a beer. But I spent part of the time speaking to your father. And what?
She was like 15.
Well, I don't know exactly what seminary she's in or what. I don't know. So this is the story. You figure the rest out yourself, okay, guys? I can't tell you the rest of the story. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them there to that hotel, you know, where they happened to be doing that Yom Kippur event, and Rabbi Greenwald was there, and he had the presence of mind. Like most people, like, okay, today's not, you know, I've got a daven today. Right, but Rabbi Greenwald realized that this is pikuach nefesh. This is not nothing less than pikuach nefesh. There's actually a phenomenal story about Chassidish Yid that I don't remember the exact whole story, but he got drunk on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, he got drunk because he had to make money, and some guy promised him, you know, the more money the more you drink on Yom Kippur, the more money we'll give you. And he like made a lot of money and got and like passed out in shul. Everyone was like, "What in the world is going on?" Right? Because he came to shul like drunk. Anyway, it's in one of Yair Weinstock's book. But the point is that sometimes Coach Bochel sends us the right place at the right time, just that everything, you know, that...
Wait, so what happened?
To which guy?
Like he came into shul and he's passed out in the back.
And everyone was like upset at him, and the Rebbe said, no, it's okay, he's a big tzaddik, he did a very big mitzvah, he saved people's lives. He was thinking of some chastaira, right? He was like singing and dancing.
He's passing one. Most of the Russians.
Ah, I read some chastaira, something like that. Check out the story, Rabbi. Say Tales for the Soul from Yair Weinstock. The story is there. I want to speak to you for a moment about something which is very relevant to Emuna. Realize everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how can a person be happy? So we speak about a person being happy with what he has, right? And how can a person be happy? So a lot of times things happen to us, and a person can get down because of certain things that happen. We want to tell you a story. This is from the book called, what's it called? Living Emuna. A story from the Chofetz Chaim. Listen to this story. And I think that the story is going to be an indication to us to how we should live our life. The story is in 1903, a fire broke out in the Jewish area in the town of Radin. And destroying an entire section of the neighborhood. And it stopped just before the Chofetz Chaim's home. A year later, in the year 1904, another fire broke out in the opposite end of town and burnt down all of the homes, including the home of the Chofetz Chaim.
Whoa.
There was one person there by the name of Chaim Sinai, And he was there trying to help put out the blaze, and he's standing there, and he sees the Chafetz Chaim standing in front of his house as his house is burning down. Now, I just want you to realize, there was no insurance in those days. Your house burned down, your house is gone. So he ran quickly to the Chafetz Chaim to listen, to hear what the Chafetz Chaim was saying, how he was dealing with this tremendous loss and tragedy. And he heard the Chafetz Chaim say the following thing: Hashem, you are so kind. There was a decree in our town that all the houses should be burnt down. But in your infinite mercy, you carried out this decree in two stages. Last year, you burnt down half of the town, so they could stay, the people from the other half of the town could stay with us. And this year, you burnt down our half of the town so that we can stay with them.
As you know that they're going to let them stay with them.
I gotta assume that they're gonna be like that. Now, Rabbi Yisai, what is the secret of the Chafetz Chaim? I'm gonna tell you what the secret is. You ready? It's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Mi ha'ish he'chafetz chaim oyev yamim." Those two words. Oyev yamim.
Lirois
Toif. The Chafetz Chaim is a person who always tried to see the good in every situation. You could see the bad in this. I mean, for goodness sakes, you burnt my house down. You get upset at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have a house now. But if you want to see the good in the situation, you could always find good in every situation. And this is the difference between being happy or not being happy. Is you could say that it could have been better, or you could say it could have been worse. That's what it boils down to, folks. A person's house gets burnt down. Could have been better. How could it have been better?
Not burnt down.
Could have been worse. How would it have been worse?
Burnt down a year ago.
Could have burnt down a year ago. And if it would have burnt down a year ago, we'd have nowhere to stay. And that's what a lot of life is about, whether a person is going to say things could have been better or things could have been worse. What'd you say?
If you die in the fire, is that worse?
You're saying?
That, of course.
You could have died in the fire, you're saying, yeah.
I'm saying, is that bad, though? Well, it's easy. If you die in the fire, right?
Right.
We said before that dying isn't necessarily bad.
But if he dies in the fire, we don't have to worry about what he has to say anymore. But you're saying if he gets saved, could have been worse. Could have died.
You said that's worse.
What?
You said that's worse.
Well, you want to
said dying is worse.
No, okay, from our perspective, it's worse. Right. But okay.
Leroy's type, see the good. I'm alive. See the good. Appreciate it. Enjoy it. That's what we're saying over here. So Rabbi Yisai, I want to give you the following perspective, okay? This is a person who has been lost in the forest in the winter. He's freezing his fingers off. He's hungry. All he has to eat is snow. He's tired. Doesn't have a bed. He's wet. Finally, there's a search team that comes, and they find him. They save him. He goes into their sled. They give him, you know, like a cracker to eat. And he's sitting on the sled. Does he like say to them, like, why didn't you come in like a 4x4? Like, couldn't you come in like an Explorer or what's the caddy called?
An
Escalade. Come on, guys. Why didn't you come in an Escalade? I mean, does he say to them, like, why are you bringing me crackers? Why don't you bring me pizza? Or is he just happy to have even the bare minimum? Because, what's the reason? Because he right now was surviving on literally nothing. Anything is considered to be a luxury. He's happy with anything. Just give me something to put in my stomach. Now this is a very important lesson, and I want to share with you a story. This is a story that happened. This was before we opened the yeshiva. I was involved in other institutions of greater learning, other yeshivas. And there was a problem when the boys were spending lots and lots of money. I was talking to some of the boys about their budget or lack of budget, and how much money they would spend. And it was like, I was in shock at some of the things they were saying. I'll give you an example. They were saying, when we go out to eat, he's like, what's he gonna like this? The boys go out to eat together. You're not allowed to look at how much things cost. You're not allowed to look. You're killing the chill. Don't tell me, oh, the duck is so expensive. Don't say that! I'm not interested in hearing about this. Okay? I said, hold on a second, are you paying? No, I'm not paying for him. But we can't talk about money. We're going to have a good time. And, you know, don't start telling me things are expensive. I'm not interested in hearing about it. Now, mind you, they argue over who pays for the taxi on the way back, the way there, because they're very cheap, because they don't want to, like, pay for each other. But on their parents' bill, they could, like, don't talk to me about how much things cost. Okay, this is to the extent of the amount of money they were spending. So then one of them let out that he flies business class whenever he flies. Flies business class. So I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. In my life, I had never flown business class at that time. I'm like, I don't understand. You have never worked a flipping day in your life. You have never worked a day in your life. You have no business. Why are you flying business class? And he said to me an amazing zug. He's about Kishrin. He said, I want to explain to you. I said, would you fly with the luggage? Would you fly with the luggage? I said, I don't fly economy because business is not a luxury. It's a necessity. I need it. You won't fly with the luggage, even if they give you like cheaper price, right? Because it's a necessity. Business is a necessity for me. Now, he spoke truth, but very sad truth. And I want to tell you why it's sad. Because we spoke about this before, right? The guy that always flies like first class, and all of a sudden gets downgraded to business, and the guy that flies regular economy is upgraded to economy plus. Who is enjoying the flight more? So someone is, I'm flying economy, he's flying business. He says, we're enjoying the flight the same. Because this became my necessity. I need this. I don't enjoy a business any more than you enjoy economy. But this is my necessity. Do you know how sad that is? So he's not going to be happy with business class. Once he starts, you know, making money one day, now he's going to need to fly first class. And then eventually, he's not going to be happy with first class. He's going to need to have his own jet because, you know, these become necessities. And then you don't enjoy anything. You only enjoy something if you were able to survive without it. Everything becomes a luxury. Do you know how happy you are? How much more enjoyable your life is? Could have been worse for him. It can't be worse. No, economy is not. That's not a possibility. No, I need to fly. To fly business. So then, it's just a question. Could it be better? If a person can lower his expectations, everything is good. Everything is positive. There's a very famous story about Chelm. That there was a Yid in Chelm, that he went to the Rav in Chelm and he said, Rebbe, my house is so small and I feel like I'm so crowded and I feel like I can't, I don't have enough room, what am I going to do? So the Rebbe said, special segula is you bring a chicken into your home. Bring a chicken into your home and then everything's, oh great, so... You know, he's very happy with the Rebbe's suggestion, bring a chicken to his home. He brings a chicken to his home, and everyone's happy. They have a chicken out. And Lamaisa, a week later, he goes back to the Rebbe and says, I don't know, the chicken didn't work. Oh, the chicken didn't work. If they bring a sheep into your home. A sheep into my home. Okay, he brings a sheep into the home. Now he's got a chicken and a sheep in his house, and they're sitting there in his living room, and the kids are all over the place, and it's like crowded and crammed. He goes to his place and says, Rebbe, it's not working. He says, yeah, so like, now we have to bring a cow into your home. Now it's gonna work. He brings a cow. He's got a cow. He's got a sheep. He's got a chicken. He goes to this rabbi. He goes, I'm going crazy. He goes, okay, take them all out of your house. He says, now it's comfortable. Because all of a sudden, your standard low dropped. Now, you're living with like absolutely no space. You think this is crowded? You think this is cold? You think this is cold, guys? You know what it's like in Siberia? Dinning is cold. So we appreciate the fact that we have clothing, that there are windows on the door. Sometimes there's food. I was like, ugh, this is disgusting. You think this is disgusting? You know what disgusting was? But it's a question of our standard. If we can appreciate things and we could be happy. Now, does that mean that a person should want to be cold? No. But if a person is capable of surviving on a minimum, he's happy with whatever he gets, whatever he has. Because everything is a luxury. And then you're seeing all the good and everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Everything is good. Everything's positive. But we have expectations. For me, this is not a luxury to have, you know, central heating or to have tiles, heated tiles. It's not a luxury. That's a necessity. But then a person's not happy. Then everything you get doesn't make you happy. It just becomes you have more necessities and more necessities and more necessities. So what a person has to work on doing, and that's the godless in the story about Chelm. I want to tell you what we're going to do in yeshiva for you folks. We are going to make you happy for the rest of your life. If you could just remember your time in yeshiva when there's a draft. Right now, do you feel a draft? I feel a draft.
Yes.
If you could remember being happy with a draft. If you could remember living with a draft and saying, okay, so there's a draft. That's life. Then when you don't have a draft, you're a luxury. That's a luxury. If you can remember being happy on a bed that has like a flat wooden board, and then you actually have a bed with springs, Beis Hashem, and you go back to your home, wherever it is, and you're like, comfortable bed, you're like, wow, this is so comfortable. Yeah, you guys got better. You got better beds. You got good beds over here, true. But the point is, if a person can put himself in a situation where he temporarily can survive on the basics, doesn't have to go out to eat all the time. Doesn't have to like make sure that he's comfortable. Doesn't have to take a shower every 12 hours. And he could survive with being a little bit dirty, a little bit tired, a little bit hungry. Then everything becomes a pleasure. Then everything becomes a luxury. If a person has luxuries, then he feels blessed. Kadosh Baruch Hu has been so kind to us. You see everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us as being a blessing. And we've all been blessed with so much. It's just the problem is, we don't necessarily see it. Because we have a need for more. I had one time a Talmud I was talking to once, who he was, Baruch Hashem, blessed with a family that was very well-to-do. And he married a family very well-to-do. And he married a wonderful girl. And his wife was, I never saw her, but he told me, beautiful, sweet, nice, fun, enjoyable. Loved his parents, loved his in-laws. Everything good. Had a job. He said, I'm not happy. I said, why are you not happy? He said, because I have this, he had this issue, physical restriction that temporarily couldn't hold his child in his hands. So he said to me, I'm not happy. I said to him, do you realize how much goodness you have in this world? You have a child, you have a wife, you have so many blessings, and you're not happy? Because you want more? Now, we could all want more, but if we realize that more is a luxury, we believe the gifts that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us are all gifts, so then we're happy with what we have. It doesn't mean that a person that doesn't have, you know, so many gifts doesn't want more. But it's all luxury. If a person says, listen, I want to upgrade you to business, you're going to be happy?
Yes.
Most of us will be happy. He says, okay, would you like to be upgraded to first class? They're like, yeah, why not? You know, once you're doing it. But it doesn't mean you're not happy with business. You'd love to be upgraded to first, but you realize it's all luxury. If everything is luxury, so then you appreciate it. And life is just so much more enjoyable. So we have to learn to lower our standard in order to be able to enjoy life. And then you could see the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's good. Hashem gave us so much goodness. We don't see it because for us it became necessity. So it's not a question of this is not good. This is not luxury. This is just what I need. And that ruins our ability to be happy. So in order for us to do that, we have to try to see all the tov that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us. I'll tell you a vort which I saw. I just saw it. I don't remember where. Just saw it. Reb Simcha Zissel, I think. Rachel Imenu was waiting for a child. She very much wanted a child. She finally has a child. His name is Yosef. Why does she name him Yosef? Does anyone know why his name is Yosef? There's numerous reasons given. One of the reasons she wants another child, but there's another reason given. She says that Kodesh Baruch Hu has reined in my embarrassment. What is she referring to? What? So Rashi says the following thing. When she didn't have a child, what would happen if she accidentally broke like a mug in the house? And Yaakov says, who broke the mug? What is she going to say? Me. Now that she has a kid, so she broke the mug, so she could always say,
the kid.
It was the kid. That's what she named her child. Boys, I want to ask you a question. She's been waiting all this time, so she has someone to blame breaking the mug on? Really? That's what she's waiting for a kid for? Like, I can't imagine that her and Yaakov were getting into major fights over the mug, you know? And that's what it was all about? That's why she wants a child? That's what she's naming the child? What?
She started from the smallest thing. She's like, even that, I have to be good.
She was able to see the good in everything. Everything was a luxury for her. She appreciated everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Even the smallest, minus detail that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, she was thankful for. That's real thanks. Do you thank Hashem for even just the peas and carrots? Even if it's not, you know, the most, you know, even at the smallest things that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us, even just the fact that we're wearing a shirt. And a person does that, then a person has real appreciation, and then you're happy. Your life is full of gratefulness, and that's a happy life. We are going to continue, Beis Hashem, hopefully Thursday a little bit, and next week.